Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 598. This is your host, Danny, Pete, and Paris, and I'm here for this episode. You know, we're taking a little break, and plus I have a lot of stuff that I want to add to the show, you know, extra content that was recorded a couple weeks ago and stuff. But yes, we'll be back for episode 599. It's coming on Monday, and then Thursday is our big episode, episode 600. Insane. So I can't wait for that. A few things we have, two reviews for this episode. One is from Paris, and also I'm going to be reviewing the game Recore that just came out. I've been playing this now for a couple of days and stuff, so I'm definitely going to be talking about it and stuff. So, and yes, next week I'm going to be reviewing the new Forza game that's coming out next week, Forza Horizon 3. So stay tuned for that. All right, first of all, I just want to say big, huge shout out to all the listeners that's been sending us these funny memes that we talked about during our last episode. Episode 597. If you haven't heard it yet, just go back, listen to the whole episode. It's extremely funny, and we have like a little giveaway and stuff in there. We haven't posted the giveaway online. It's only for you, the listener. So continue to send us your memes to you know, on Twitter or Facebook. You know, looking for Gamertag Radio, or if you want, you could also send us an email. We could definitely get the memes like that too. So hit us up, fanmail at gamertagradio.com.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so in this episode, we have two guests. One is Robert Workman, a.k.a. DCD, shout out to him, gaming journalist, and also TJ Denzer. He's from Arcade Sushi. We were, you know, we got together during the Call of Duty event, and we had a great discussion about the whole Nintendo NX, when their Nintendo's plan to announce this console. Are they planning to do it now in September? Is it going to be in the future? Is it coming out in March 2017? We had a very, very long conversation. I recorded this is just for you, the listeners. So let us know what you think and everything. And I'm going to play right now. And once we come back, we have, remember, two reviews here at Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
So I'm here with a great friend of ours that he's been around supporting GTR for a very, very long time. DCD, what's going on, man?
Man, I think Paris is scared of me. Because I was like, it was supposed to be recording everything. Like, he's like, ah, nah, I'm out. I gotta go. Well, everybody knows he's a great guy. It was great seeing you and him all weekend long, man, here at this Call of Duty thing. But we'll talk about other stuff, too, aren't we?
Yeah, man. You know what? I want to talk about Nintendo NX. I know there's been a lot of leaks and rumors about the console and stuff like that. What is it that you think Nintendo has to do in order to get attention away from you know, Sony with a PlayStation 4 and all that stuff, and also Xbox One?
We have to understand, Nintendo's been playing it cautious. You know, like the Wii U, they came out guns blazing and everything. I had 3DS, they came out guns blazing. And, you know, the 3DS worked out reasonably well, but the Wii U hasn't. You know, people have been concerned about, like, well, what's Nintendo going to do next and everything like that. Now people are like, well, NX is going to come in March and everything. And, you know, so they're like, why hasn't Nintendo revealed it yet? I think they're waiting for that perfect moment. You know, they're waiting for the ideal moment in which they lift the veil off everything. And from what I've been hearing, I mean, it's prepared to blow the doors off, you know, with, like, you know, mobile console-based gaming with all this chip technology and everything like that, with reasonable control system and setup, all that. So I think it's just waiting for that key opportunity. You know what I mean? It's waiting for that moment in which ha, we got you, and everything like that. It was waiting for that gotcha moment. Because it seems like anytime they prep for something, you know, like Nintendo Land or something like that, unless it's Mario related, it doesn't really work as well as they expect it to. So I think it's just a matter of they're waiting to see what Sony does. But I think it's just a matter of mid-month we're going to see something from them, possibly at their own event, who knows. But they're going to let loose. They're going to, you know, announce games like, you know, Splatoon, Super Smash Brothers, revamp versions of those. But also, supposedly, Metroid Prime, the real sequel, not this Federation Force business, you know, and stuff like that, that really takes advantage of the system. They want to build up that steam, but like I said, it's a matter of if they announce at the same time as PSX, Neo, Chocolate Mountain, whatever they call it, you know, it's a matter of they want to make sure that they do it on their terms, not trying to upstage somebody else, but showing that they're still relevant in the game scene.
And the thing is, too, I feel that Nintendo has to Yes. One thing that Nintendo has to do too is the message, man, because during the last console, it was confusing because, like, I'll give you a perfect story. One of my cousins, she went to the store and bought Mario Kart for the Wii U. She calls me, "Hey Danny, I have the new Mario Kart for the Wii." I go, Wait, hold on a second. Wait, what you mean the new Mario Kart for the Wii? You're like, yeah, it says Wii U, but it works for the Wii, right? I'm like, no, it doesn't. So Nintendo has to be really careful with that, with what, like, the name of the new console is and everything, because that really confused a lot of the consumers, man. A lot, especially the ones that don't visit websites, don't listen to podcasts, YouTube, etc., you know?
And I think that's what they're going to try to dictate. I think it's going to stick with NX. I think they're going to shy away from whatever this Wii business was and everything like that, because in a way, the Wii signifies their greatest success with motion gaming, but also their greatest failure with Wii U. I mean, well, I wouldn't say greatest. There was the Virtual Boy, but, like, in terms of commercialism, Wii U didn't turn out the way expected. So I think it's just a matter of they want to signify that they're still relevant, not just to, you know, the casual audiences, but they want to get their hardcore players back. That's a huge audience. I mean, why do you think the NES Mini is building up such buzz for its holiday release? Because they want to get the hardcore crowd remembering why they grew up with Nintendo, why it was so significant to them and everything like that. And by the same token, they also want to, like, kind of wipe away, like, what the Wii U did in favor of introducing their own thing. Well, now, it could be a good thing, like, you know, the Wii, it could be a bad thing, like the Wii U, but not that the Wii U was horrible, but it's just, we didn't expect to play on a mini tablet that would lose power after 3 hours. They're going to take their time and make sure everything is in place, and I think by using the NX label, Metroid Prime NX, Mario Kart NX, Super Smash Brothers NX, it'll say it right there. It'll be like, this is no longer a Wii game. This is Nintendo trying out something new, trying out something on their terms. And I'm eager to see what it is. I really am. I mean, based on technology, based on the ideas, I think they've done a lot of research and everything like that of where the Wii U didn't work. And I think they're applying that toward whatever the NX is going to be. And I really think that name is going to stick with it.
I don't think so, but we'll talk about more about that.
What do you think it's going to be?
It's going to be a totally, like, remember when we got used to the whole, oh my God, code name Revolution? Everybody thought it was going to be called Revolution. I love that game. It was like Dolphin. Well, I'm not really a fan of the whole Dolphin thing, but Revolution was really, really cool. But then they named the system. I was like, whatever. But I know we have somebody else here. Please present yourself and mention your website real quick.
My name is TJ Denzer. I work for Arcade Sushi. I think when you look at the NX, one of the most important things about it is that you have games that are going to be on both the Wii U and the NX. Legend of Zelda, that's a big one. And there needs to be that immediate, like, differentiation so that you don't have that Mario Kart situation where somebody buys the game thinking they're going to be able to play it and they can't because it's on the new system.
Now, my thing is, the thing that I'm really, really worried about is, you know, all these new systems coming out for Xbox and Sony. Nintendo's coming out with a new system, but price matters. How much do you think they should announce this new console to compete with the new PlayStation 4 and the new Xbox One?
I wouldn't be surprised if they took the route like they did with the Wii. Make it a nice casual price to introduce people to everything like that. But by the same token, you know, make it a price, you know, so it's not bargain basement. You know, obviously it won't be $599. I'm thinking somewhere maybe around the $249, $299 price. Because look at the Wii U. It's out for how long at $349 or $399 and everything like that. Even at $299, it's having, you know, struggles with its sales. So I think just somewhere around the $249, $299 price, somewhere in there, it'll find that magic spot. And they'll do it like they did with the Wii U. They'll include a pack-in that will really signify. I mean, it could even be something like Splatoon NX or Mario Brothers or even Mario Kart. You know, so you don't have to worry about them picking up another version again. But, I mean, that's what I think. TJ, what do you think, man?
I think in order to stay competitive, it almost has to be a $250 price range just because we still don't know what this does. It could be a thing like the Wii that is just a new frontier. We've all heard the rumors. It could be something mobile. It's going to be something mobile, but it's also going to be a home console. And it leaves a lot of area unknown as to, is it going to be primarily one, primarily other, or are they going for a perfect hybrid of both?
There's one other factor to consider. And sorry to interrupt. I didn't know if you were finished talking. The third parties. Nintendo lost them in droves with the Wii U. It's a matter of pricing hardware so that it becomes something of a luxury also to them, so that their games become an attraction on the system. Well, we know a lot of dev kits went out and everything like that. So, you know, they're pushing for that. But now it's just making sure, you know, it's a price point that makes them comfortable along with, you know, people who pick up the system. Because without an adaptable price point, it's pretty much all for naught. I mean, what do you think?
The news broke very recently that NX is going to be non-region locked. And that is new territory for Nintendo, and it's very important territory for Nintendo, because previously there were a lot of titles that were coming out on the Nintendo systems that stateside people had no chance of getting, European side people had no chance of getting, and I think that'll be a factor in sales as well.
Now, I know you mentioned about third party. EA is questionable. I don't know if they're gonna actually make games for the new NX and stuff, but I can see Ubisoft, Capcom, you know, other third-party companies, Activision. I can see them creating games for this new NX system. The thing is, are they going to make any exclusive games? Or because here's one game that I remember, and I liked it. A lot of people didn't really like it. Zombie U for the Wii U. I think it was a decent game. It wasn't perfect or anything. It was challenging. It was different. It was unique. It was exclusive. But it failed big time. It was extremely hard. But I could see like a game like Beyond Good and Evil 2, exclusive deal with Nintendo. Nintendo basically put the money down to get that development going.
Something to consider is that like Nintendo can do partnerships like that. Beyond Good and Evil 2 has been rumored for some time. And take a look at Bayonetta 2. Right, they partnered with like, you know, Platinum Games, everything. They work with Sega to get the license back and everything like that. And even though it wasn't the biggest seller in the world, it created incredible buzz for like the Wii U. People like who own the Wii U is like, I gotta have this game because it's amazing, you know. And critics loved it and all that stuff. So if Nintendo can find like a few killer titles that it would have exclusive rights to, even for just a few months, exclusive rights to, and something that signified the system, something that really defined what it could do. And made it a must-have, you know, because it's all about the games with the system. You know, it's like Project Scorpio, you could talk out the wazoo and everything like that unless it has the games to back it up. Anything with hardware like that is the case. So, I mean, if Nintendo could work out some deals like that, it would attract not only the consumers but also the third parties. Be like, hey, wait a minute, these guys mean business. Look at what da-da-da-da-da game is doing and everything like that. What do you think, TJ?
It also comes down to the factor of keeping the support for the system going in between those big titles. Yep. We and Nintendo in general have always had a problem. They release that big title like Splatoon or Mario Kart, but they don't back it up with anything interesting in between. You don't see a lot of good releases in between those blockbusters.
Well, there is one thing where they've done really well, and that's the indie game scene. You know, they've gotten a number of exclusives and everything like that. Runbo, Stealthing 2, and stuff like that. I mean, they recently finally got Axiom Verge. Like, for the longest time, that's been, you know, people been begging for that. If they can continue that balance, you know, between, like, you know, big hits from them and from third parties. Oh,
All right.
As well as indie games. You know, I think if they have the continuous library that shows that support. I mean, just look at, like, Sony, you know, with their push for indie games. Look at Microsoft for their push for indie games. If Nintendo can find that fine balance, I mean, there's no reason they can't have a stream of games like that.
But it's hard nowadays because a lot of the gamers now, they're kind of staying away with the whole Nintendo thing, unless it's like a big title like Zelda, you know, Mario Kart, like stuff like that. They're focusing more on the consoles that's popping right now, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. So that's the thing. Like, you can have as many indie games you want, all the support you want, but is that actually going to help Nintendo sell consoles too?
Well, you know, they like relabeled their online service, Nintendo Network. So it's a matter of making sure that service is significant enough for gamers that they can get enough out of it. And then also, you know, in its own way, it's been trying to push like little things out to help bring back, you know, community and stuff like that. Like their little eShop thing that they changed around. Well, not, you know, the shop where you can like buy virtual goods, you can buy physical stuff and everything like that. I see that continuing. And, you know, even like their trade show presence, they only had like one game at E3 this year, and it was Legend of Zelda, but everybody couldn't stop talking about it. I mean, everybody who saw it talked about it. Who saw the booth talked about it. I mean, if they can continue that kind of promotional push and their devotion to gamers, I mean, I don't see why they can't come back from that. But what do you think?
I think one of the biggest things that Nintendo is missing is we've seen it on Xbox and on PlayStation, that sort of premium service.
Yeah.
Games with Gold has done very well. PlayStation Plus games have done very well. It's like they recently started doing Super Nintendo games on the 3DS. But you know what would sell that service a lot better for people, I think, is to have that sort of like premium membership where you could have, like, if you were in it, you could have gotten Super Metroid for free, because plenty of people would love to have that game back on the 3DS.
No, I think that's a great idea. Or do like a service kind of like Netflix. You play all those titles, you could download them. You just got to pay a monthly price, let's say $10 a month or something like that. Play as many old school games as you want, Nintendo, Super Nintendo. I think that would be cool and different. Both companies, Xbox and Sony, they're not doing that at all. Nintendo, they have the classics. They could pull this off. People are excited for a $60 Nintendo Classic console with 30 games. Imagine if they could do this. This will also, I think personally, will also help to get people to buy NX.
And there's another thing to consider too. Their libraries for the Wii U and the 3DS. Because a lot of people, I mean, I know to some people backward compatibility isn't a big deal, but for Nintendo players, you know, it's like, I know a bunch of people who still enjoy Mario Kart Wii on the Wii U. I know a bunch of people that play classic games on the 3DS and everything like that. So it's a matter of if when you do release this system, obviously there can't be too much when it comes to physical support. But on the digital side of things, I suggest support for like 3DS and Wii U backward compatibility. I think it would be a huge thing. And plus, it would keep interest in Wii U alive, even though, you know, it's a lot of people see it as a lost cause. There are those people there that still believe in the hardware. I mean, what do you think?
I think that there's, like, and you can cater to more than one audience, too. Like, there are the classics, like, doing Mario Karts and Metroids and that. But, like, what if you threw a Mad World in there once in a while? Like, a game that not a lot of people hit the first time because they didn't know what they were looking at, but a very good, like, original title that probably didn't get the love it should have.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, they're releasing a bunch of Wii. They just released, like, Skyward Sword for Wii U. You know, and that's getting a lot of attention and everything like that. In fact, their whole, you know, Nintendo Direct was really focused and gave the people the games that they want, you know, like Mario Maker from time for the holiday season. So, like I said, it's just a matter of, like you said, making sure it's something that's focused on the casual gamer as well as hardcore. They just need to find that balancing. Because, like, for so long, like, how the Wii catered so much to the casual player, there was barely anything there for hardcore, except for Mad World, except for Okami, you know, stuff like that. So I really hope they find that balance again.
This one game that we haven't really talked about, Pokemon. Why not release a Pokemon game? It will help you capture more Pokemons on a mobile or something. Like something that is going to make people, I'm going to buy the NX just for that.
Pokemon Snap 2 out yet?
Yes, it is. You guys remember when they introduced Pokemon Stadium and introduced the interconnectivity of being able to port your Pokemon team from the game over to Pokemon Stadium? I don't understand why they haven't tried that again. Clearly, the attention is there for the Pokemon games. I don't understand why they don't do that, like with the Pokemon Sun and Moon, and do like a companion title on the NX where you can move that your teams over.
But they are still in that phase of experimentation. You got Pokemon Go and mobile, which even though it's not as wildly popular as it was when it first came out, is still getting a big audience. And then you had like Pokken Tournament, which was really impressive. And with the right controller, I think would really attract a bigger audience and everything like that. So, I mean, they are experimenting with stuff like that, but I agree with you. Like a good accessible Pokemon game for casual and hardcore players alike. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some variation of Go on the NX that had us go to the Nintendo Network to explore for friends that were out there and everything like that, or try to get collections or something like that. But they really need to take advantage of that franchise. It's a seller. I mean, we saw what like Pokemon Go did in its first few days of release. It topped everything else in the world. It's just a matter of finding that lightning in a bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, too, Nintendo, I think the only game right now that's kind of like esport-ish, Smash Brothers. Yeah, I mean, but more Smash Brothers. That's like the official. Yeah, like they should have games like that too, because that's a whole different crowd too that they could also get to purchase the console, you know? Now, let me ask you this, because I know we talked about a lot about games and third parties and everything. The controller. If you think about it, every single console that has been coming out throughout the years from Nintendo has been, controller-wise, has been very unique and different than any other console out there. Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, GameCube, Wii was like a game changer. Wii U, not so much. What is it that they need to do to capture that audience? Like, man, the controller is pretty cool. But the rumor that's been going around is the tablet. You could take it anywhere you want. You could also connect it to your TV. I don't know if it's true or not. That's the rumor. But what do you guys think about that?
I can't help but think, you know, the company is trying to go back to its old school roots. I can't help but think, like, it'll be made up like a controller with break apart pieces that, in a way, kind of form like maybe a classic controller. Because think about it, like the company has been rumored now for some time to be going back to the cartridge format. And with the flash memory the way it is, that would actually work really well for them. I mean, even they keep the digital thing, but obviously, you know, like people love cartridges. It's a known fact they collect like for NES, Super NES, all that stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they adapted a control system that like broke away from the tablet and then snapped together or whatever, like a classic controller would, and gave them that sort of classic feeling and everything like that. But if they wanted to play in a wide format like the Wii U, they still could. I mean, obviously there'd have to be a lot in the design and everything like that, and still keeping it price friendly, that's questionable. But I can see them going back to a classic. I mean, if they're going to go back to classic cartridges, a classic control scheme would make sense. I mean, obviously, like a controller with maybe an analog built in. I mean, they've innovated with controllers before. I don't doubt them. I think they'll find a way. What do you think?
I'm sort of in between on this because, in a way, I think they almost... I think they have to go traditional to a certain degree again, because in the past, we've seen Nintendo do crazy things with controllers. The N64 controller was like, for my personal opinion and for a lot of people I know...
Dude, the Super Scope.
They've done a lot of controllers that were just plain messes.
Yeah.
And there was no way to use the full 100% functionality of them. GameCube controller was murder on my hands. I don't know about you guys, but I think we're at the degree where Nintendo doesn't have as much sway as they used to get away with that. I think there needs to be some level of traditional control that will appeal to the wide gamer. And on the other hand, I agree with the certain extent of they have experimented a lot in the past and they've found success with it. I'd like to see them do something crazy that works again, but it's just how much of a risk are they willing to take at this point where they don't have as much sway as they used to?
It's just a matter of getting rid of the bulk. Like when playing on a big, bulky Wii U controller compared to like a regular controller, a lot of people got turned off. You know, it's like, how long do I have to look down at this screen? Or, and some games even use that screen. Like, no, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze didn't use that screen. So it's a matter of finding the technology and making it work for them.
So we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else you want to mention about the NX, Nintendo, before we wrap it up or what? Or anything that's going on with you guys? Any promotion you want to mention? Go for it.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I have faith in Nintendo. You know, ever since Satoru Iwata passed away and everything like that, I think the company's been trying to find a way to keep true to his vision. You know what I mean? And have something that really appeals to the gamers in a general mindset, like casual and hardcore alike. I have faith that whatever they introduce, as soon as it is, hopefully, I really think it'll cater to everybody's needs. I think they'll do enough research and everything like that. They've done enough design work and everything that they've got all their bases covered. And it's just a matter of when they're going to reveal it now and everything. And I wish them all the best and everything. And if you guys want to follow me, I'm at Twitter. I'm at the DCD. Facebook, I'm Robert Workman. And I also do the ARG podcast. You can follow us at retrozap.com. Listen to all our fun episodes. Kind of weird throwing a promotion in there on top. I'm sorry.
As far as the NX goes, I think there's a lot of room to... it's really going to depend on what we finally see when they finally reveal it, because there's so much left in the air right now. But there are a lot of franchises out there that are looking to continue their legacy. I know for a fact that Yoshio Sakamoto wants to continue the Metroid franchise.
The right way.
Yeah, like... He wants to explore that space between Metroid Fusion and Super Metroid, and he's going to do it. It's only a matter of time. There's a lot of other things right there, out there, too. I would love to see what they do with Zelda. It looks like it's on the right track to sort of bringing a fresh vibe and an original vibe back. And I think there's a lot of room for innovation on the NX from what we've heard. If you want to find me, I'm at Johnny Chugs on Twitter. I'm at
he really does.
It's true. I'm at TJ Denzer on Facebook. I work for Arcade Sushi, and you can find my work there. You can also find my work at GameWatcher.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so next we have a review from Paris. This is the Logitech Prodigy series review. Check it out.
Hey everyone, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio, and I'm here with another product review. Talked about this a couple weeks ago. I had the chance to go to an event in Los Angeles for Logitech, and I want to thank Logitech for inviting me to the event, and I left with three of their new products. Logitech is starting, you know, they have their whole G series, and I've talked about some of their other products in the past, but this time they're taking kind of a different approach. Instead of going after the high-end hardcore gamer, they're going after the casual gamer, and it's with their Prodigy line. And they have three different products that they came out with. They have their new mouse, which is the Prodigy G403. They also came out with a new headset, the G231. And they've also come out with a keyboard, the G213. So I'm just going to talk about each product here really quick and kind of give you my overall thoughts. So I took a different approach this time. Instead of me being the person to actually review all these products, I got my son to do it because he's the more casual gamer, so to speak. You know what I mean? So the fact that I've talked about some of their high-end products in the past, I figured, hey, let me get my son in here. Let's see what he thinks about some of these products. So first up was the G403 mouse. I have the wireless version of this mouse, but there's also a wired version as well. And he loved it. It was very responsive. Just some of the games that he played on the PC worked just fine. He used it just for normal everyday production, you know, just checking out things on YouTube, you know, bringing up Microsoft Word, things of that nature. Worked just fine. Very responsive, very good mouse. Now, the G213, which is the keyboard, it's not a mechanical keyboard, but it acts like a mechanical keyboard. It has the RGB lighting. The keys are very responsive on it. Again, just going with what my son was saying, he really loved it. He had no issues with it as well. Fine keyboard. Some of the games that he played on the PC worked as well. He played BioShock, ironically enough, using the keyboard and mouse, and he did a little Counter-Strike Go as well. Worked just fine, especially with in conjunction with the G403. Now, the G231, this is the headset. It is a 3.5-millimeter headset. It's a stereo headset, works on the PC, works on the Xbox One, works on the PlayStation 4. You just simply, you know, plug it into the controller like you would normally on a console. And obviously on the PC, just plug it into the 3.5-millimeter jack. Like I said, stereo headset, great sound, very comfortable. Looking at this headset, it looks very high-end. It is very comparable to Logitech's G933 and 633 line. It's very comfortable, lightweight. Microphone boom works just fine. For the price that you're paying, the looks of it, you would definitely think this was a more high-end headset. He loved it as well. Now, my own personal impressions on these three devices, loved them. I loved them. I love the approach that Logitech is taking with these. They all retail for $69.99, which I feel is a fair price for these products, especially when you see them in person. They look very high end. They look a lot more expensive than what you're going to pay for it. Now, the wireless version of the G403 mouse is actually $99. That can get a little bit pricey, especially when you compare it with their new pro gaming mouse that came out, which is a wired product, but you can get that for $69.99 as well. But overall, I like this approach. It's kind of that entry point for the casual gamer to get into using keyboard and mouse on the PC. And again, obviously with the G231, that headset is very comparable with other stereo headsets that you'll find on the market for PC gaming and console gaming as well. So overall, I would recommend all three of these products. Like I said, the G213 keyboard retails for $69.99. The G403 wired mouse retails for $69.99. Its wireless counterpart is $99.99. And the G231 Prodigy headset also retails for $69.99. So you can go over to Logitech.com for more information on that. Again, I want to thank Logitech for inviting me to that event. I think this new Prodigy line is going to be a hit. You can find these products, like I said, at Logitech.com. You can go to your local retail stores. They should be available now there as well. So again, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio. I will send you back to the show.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream.
All right. Right now, I'm about to review the new game, ReCore, for the Xbox One. I've been having this now for a week now. Shout out to Microsoft for sending us this code early. And I've been playing now for a couple of days now. This game is from Amateur Studio and Microsoft Studios. So here's the thing. I really love like those classic action adventure games. This is not a true open world. This is a semi-open world. But the cool thing about this is that your character, Jules Adams, he could go out there and do a lot of like side quests, and or you could concentrate on the main quest too. But she's not alone. One of her companions, his name is Mac. That's my homie, Mac. Shout out to you. He is also part of the Corbot companion. So you're going to meet a lot more in the future, like during the game. You're going to see them, and they also will help you through your adventure. And the thing I like about Corbots is that you could take two at a time. You could switch. They will help you fight enemies, fight bosses. And certain companions too will help you even travel to different places around the world. I like the design. It feels pretty good when you're traveling and everything with your companion and stuff. And the bosses or the enemies, love it. It reminds me of that true old school classic action adventure games. Here's the thing. One of the enemies, if you see them, they're going to be based on different colors. So you're going to see Jules. She has this laser that has four colors. If you see an enemy of that color, let's say, for example, red, you go to your D-pad, switch it to red, shoot, and it will help you defeat the enemy or bosses, right? Sometimes bosses, they will switch colors. Like they will go to blue, they will go to white, they will go to yellow. They will switch all the time. So you based on that, you switch your weapon, right? Now, there's some enemies that might be purple. So you're stuck. You're like, okay, which of these colors is this the weakest one that will help me defeat this enemy? So you also have to play around and find the perfect one that's going to help you defeat this enemy big time, all right? Now, love the design, love the game. The music is cool. Voice acting is decent. But here's some issues with the game. It's the loading time. Wow. In 2016, there's no excuse for a game to take that long to load. I heard the PC version is a lot faster, a little bit better than the Xbox One. Plus, graphically also looks better. But wow, it was just frustrating. You know, I was in one of the levels and I was trying to figure out one of the bosses and stuff, you know, and I died. But every time I died, it will just take a long time to load. And it's just frustrating. Like, why I have to take this long? Another thing, too, is when I'm out there traveling, around the world, I'm trying to figure out like if there's other quests and stuff like that. Sometimes I need to upgrade my companion. Let's say I want to upgrade Seth or Mac. I'll go back to my home base. In the middle of a mission, upgrade him, head out to the world, and then my waypoint just disappears. So I don't know where to go. I'm completely lost unless you take one of your fast travel spots and you could end up there. But it's just like, I feel like it would have been better if they would have designed this in a way that I could just upgrade my character or my companion just there instead of just going back and forth. And another thing too, you could only take two companions with you at a time. So there's going to be some situations that you have to go back many times to change characters and stuff. So yeah, I think they could have done that a little bit better. Another thing too is you're going to be collecting orbs throughout the game, and later in the game you're probably going to run out, so you have to go back and do more side missions, side quests, in order for you to collect more orbs to continue the game. So I mean, look, it's only $40. The game is decent. It's not the greatest game, but it's not the worst either. But I had a good time. You know, I just felt that just those little things like that, you know, with the whole loading time, I wish I could have been better with that, man, because that's just frustrating. In the middle of a game, I die and it just takes too long, you know. So I don't want to say much about the story because I want you to go and just play this game and have a surprise experience. You're like, wow, okay, I understand everything. So, but it's cool overall. I would say try it out. I'm not saying to buy it or to diss it, but at least if you're into those type of games, check it out. But be warned, you already know about the loading time and the couple issues that they have in the game. So, but yeah, overall, that's my review about ReCore for the Xbox One. All right, that's it. This is the end of Gamertag Radio episode 598. So remember to hit us up anytime. Send us your feedback and questions and everything like that. We definitely will play it on the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here at Gamertag Radio, episode 598. Remember to head over to gamertagradio.com or go to play.it/gamertag. You can go there and listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. And you could also find us Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. We need your support. So if you're in iTunes, you're listening to the show through there, post a review. It only takes a couple minutes, and it will help us to rank up and also push the show out there even more. Or if you can, you know, share with your friends and so on. That will help us big time too to get the word out about GTR. And that's about it. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.